This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1367. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded July 17th, the state we're in, shortwave situation in Austria, Serbia, Romania, Israel, power up in Sri Lanka, new English from Tajikistan, 25 megahertz hopping, Antarctica and St. Helena back, and the propagation outlook. But first, let's look at some of the summer DX meetings in North America. In lieu of any organized Eastern Convention this year, Jim Renfrew has offered his new spread in Clarendon, New York, for an informal day of conversation, recreation, and maybe even some DX. It's Saturday, July 28th. The location is about 20 miles west of Rochester and 15 minutes north of New York Thruway I-90, exit 47. This is very informal. Just show up, bring a radio or TV if you'd like. But of course, they'd like to know if you're coming. The email address to use to contact Jim Renfrew is renfrew14422@yahoo.com. Scott Feibusch is also organizing it, and you can write to him at scott@fybush.com. Write to them, and they'll give you all the details. I should point out that all these meetings I'll be mentioning are welcoming non-members of the group. Of course, they would no doubt be pleased if you decide to become a member later on. This first group say they were inspired by the next one I'll mention, which is the Madison-Milwaukee get-together for DXers and radio enthusiasts, which has been held every August since 1994. This year, it's Saturday, August 18th, at Bill and Nina Dorak's new home, 3358 Ridgeway Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. For more info on this, write to Bill Dvorak. It's DXERAK at AOL.com and put Madison DX GTG in the subject line. That's August 18th. If you're in the West, later in August, you can attend four DX conventions for the price of two. The IRCA, International Radio Club of America, specializing in medium wave and decalcomania, are holding a joint convention in Salt Lake City, August 24th to 26th. We don't have a contact address for that yet, but if you're interested, mark your calendar and perhaps we'll have more info later on. And then the Labor Day weekend, as always, the National Radio Club holds its annual convention, but this time it's a joint convention with the Worldwide TV FM DX Association in Boise, Idaho. Now, the Salt Lake and Boise conventions do have some organized activities as well as being held in a hotel, so there is a small registration fee. More information about the NRC WTFDA in Boise can be found at www.nrcdxas.org. In his Easy Listening column for the July NASA Journal, Rich Cuff enthuses over the state we're in, which he says may very well be the best new program on shortwave in many years. It's on Radio Netherlands. It started at the end of May, and RN has clearly invested a significant portion of its talent, headed by Jonathan Gruber, to create what is now termed its flagship program. The state we're in, he says, the most interesting new public broadcasting program created in recent memory, and even better, RN still uses shortwave to get it to us in North America. It's about how we treat each other, human rights, human wrongs, and what we do about them. It's about 50 minutes long and a different theme each week, made up of a series of different related stories. As with all RN programs, you can hear it online or on demand with the shortwave schedule to North America on the 1100 UT Saturday broadcast on 11675, at 2000 on 15315, 17735 and 17660, and the usual evening repeats UT Sundays at midnight and 01 on 9845 and at 04 on 6165. And the show has its own website, www.thestatewearein.org. That written, of course, without any punctuation. Jim Ronda in Tulsa tells DX Listening Digest he heard RTBF International in Belgium signing on at 0300 UT on 9970. That's all in French, of course. There's contradictory info on the exact schedule for this transmission, but I point out that 9970 is one of those rare frequencies registered for only one station in the world at whatever time. It signs on at 0300, we know now, but the sign-off time, according to different sources, could be anywhere from 2100 to 2300. Furthermore, this is the only active shortwave frequency from Belgium itself. If you hear anything else, it's a relay from somewhere else. 9970. Walt Salmony from Victoria, B.C. traveled to England, Poland, and especially Ukraine in June and July, and DX'd as much as he could while sightseeing. We'll mention several of his catches, starting with this one about Polish radio's new Hebrew service, which, of course, is actually transmitted from Germany. It's at 18 to 1830 UT on 9695. The ID is Kol Polin, P-O-L-I-N. He found very good reception and Hebrew news along with music during that broadcast. Kai Ludwig forwards news from the Austrian newspaper Der Standard, which says the budget for ORF's radio services in 2008 will be cut by 2.5 mega euro. A spokesperson denied rumors about a sesquimega euro of these savings to be made by stopping shortwave transmissions of E1 International. Or I should say E1 International. This is not a plan of the management at present. Dragan Lekic in Serbia updates us on the status of International Radio Serbia. He says on July 16th, I phoned the technical department of the station in Belgrade. Spare parts for the Bijeljina transmitter in Bosnia arrived at Belgrade Airport and are waiting for customs. Because there's some legal problems between Serbia and Bosnia, this would be processed in about 1 or 2 months. When spare parts actually arrive in Bijeljina, very soon the broadcast with 250 kilowatts will start. Until then, Stublina Serbia mobile transmitter with only 10 kilowatts remains operational on 7240 from 13 to 21 UT. However, he says, my personal opinion is that it is very possible this would be delayed more. The situation is very complicated. Probably next year a new law will determine the future of International Radio Serbia. About Black Mountain in the Arctic Radio Club, Svetomir Chukovic says Radio Podgorica, RTV Chernogora, has reduced the power to 5 kilowatts, and they plan to shut down the 882 kilohertz transmitter due to shortage of money. That means there will be no medium wave transmitter in Montenegro. In BCDX, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria got a message from the DX editor in Russian of Radio Romania International about the reconstruction of their shortwave facilities. All antennas will be repaired by next May. All transmitters will be replaced with 6 new ones, 3 of 300 kilowatts in Tikhanovskyi, 2 of 300 kilowatts in Galbeni, and 1 100 kilowatt in Savtika. Between June 18th and September 15th, there will be problems transmitting the Romanian, English, and French broadcasts from the Galbeni site because of this. And between September 15th and October 30th, Tiganeshti will not be transmitting Russian and Chinese broadcasts. They will be only on the Internet. All the work is to be completed by May 2008 at the latest. However, they hope to have all broadcasts on the air as usual by the beginning of the B07 season. Some more observations from Walt Samaniv, these from 4 different locations in Ukraine. In late June and early July, he was monitoring Abkhaz Radio in Abkhazia on 9494.8 variable between 0400 and 0600 UT, give or take. He says the signal is somewhat distorted. He did hear IDs as APSUA Radio, spelled APSUA at various times. It's partly in the Abkhazian language and partly in Russian. He says always a fascinating station to monitor with their old 5-kilowatt transmitter, which was formerly for jamming. He says they sure could use cleaner modulation. In order to update the DXSWL media programs section at worldofradio.com, I monitored the broadcast from Voice of Turkey on Saturdays. We thought the DX Corner, which is every 2 weeks, was running on July 7th, but instead it appeared on the 14th. So add 2 weeks from that date to hear it, plus UT Sundays on the 0300 broadcast. When we finally did hear it, it ran from 25 to 35 minutes into the transmission. And guess what? If this is a DX program, what is the letterbox show on Wednesdays? All they did was reply to reception reports. Tony Rosenzweig updates us on the situation in Israel. Never a dull week. He says information published in the papers has not been forthcoming, but there are rumors. Negotiations may impact what actually happens, but they're talking about foreign language cutbacks as of August 1st. Reshet Hay, which is the designation for Israel Radio International transmissions, will be severely curtailed, including the loss of the hour from 19 to 20 UT. That includes the only English broadcast created specifically for external listeners. The other three English broadcasts are relays of the domestic RECA network. Also, they say that shortwave is due to end on the 1st of January, 2008. Well, we may lose shortwave, but what about television? Harry Brooks in England says the government must be mismanaging the giga dollars given to them by the Americans because IBA has ceased free-to-air satellite broadcast to Europe. Channel 33 used to be on Hotbird. They are on another satellite, which, however, has a much tighter footprint visible only near Israel. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain heard something in Arabic on 9885, where nothing is scheduled, at various times between 21 and 23 UT on July 9th and 10th. We were scratching our heads, but finally I figured it could be Radio Kuwait, which is supposed to be on 9855, but may have punched up 9885 by mistake. And indeed, that appears to be what happened, because the next day they were back on 9855. Mauno Ritola agrees, as do Tomas Mendez in Spain and Jose Miguel Romero on further checking. From Kathmandu, Nepal, David Woolen tells DX Listening Digest, Sri Lanka Broadcasting Radio show presenter Roshan Abiseka said the refurbished 9770 transmitter used for English language programming is now running at 200 kilowatts. Furthermore, English evening transmissions are to resume in the B07 season, but now they're only in the morning, starting at 0100 until 0430, extended on Sundays until 0515, says the World Radio TV Handbook. Joe's Jacob reports to the DX India Group that the All India Radio Vivid Bharati program on the very out-of-band frequency, 10330, which has been broadcast from the Bangalore site, has moved to the Kanpur site near Delhi. Now, from Bangalore, the azimuth was 335 degrees, which happens to favor North America as well. But I wonder what the azimuth is from Kanpur, probably not so favorable for us. The schedule is midnight 25 to 0435, 09 to 12, and 1245 to 1740 UT. The July 12th online update of the World Radio TV Handbook gives a revised tentative schedule for Voice of Tajik, which is supposedly expanding an external service. We had previously found a number of registered frequencies, but this schedule shows only medium wave 1143 and their old shortwave frequency 7245, including English at 09 until 11 to South Asia and 1730 to 18 to the Middle East. This is a tentative schedule, so it may not be on the air yet. Is anyone hearing it? We are in the midst of World of Radio 1367. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com. Or Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, to which the retiring Pete Bentley in New York sent a check and a mail with his usual message, JKDI, just keep doing it. For much more info, visit our website, worldofradio.org. We're pleased to hear that we're getting out well to Europe via WWCR. Acker Peterson in Denmark, DSWCI DX Window, heard the 0230 UT Sunday broadcast on 5070. He says, best heard for a long time. Walt Salmaniv, visiting Ukraine, also heard that broadcast. Very good reception. An excellent time to hear Glenn in Europe. Well, I say, if you're awake in the middle of the night. 12160 is also reaching St. Louis very well. Very short skip, says Will Martin. Saturday, July 14th at 16:30. We have intense sporadic e-openings to thank for that. 15825 was also heard by Walt Salmaniv in England. Very good reception on June 22nd, Friday at 20:30. And Jeff White of WRMI says we have a new QSL card for World of Radio and Mundo Radial. For this hard copy only QSL, do not report to me or to World of Radio's address, but direct to WRMI, PO Box 526852, Miami, Florida 33152, or info at WRMI.net. Of course, this is available only for World of Radio, as heard on WRMI, as well as Mundo Radial, on 7385 or 9955. Furthermore, Jeff says, we have a series of new QSL cards for some other programs we carry, Radio Cuba Libre, Trova Libre, DX Party Line and Aventura DXista, World Cricket Today, and Radio Prague Relays, plus the EDXC conference in Switzerland in November. Standard disclaimer as we pick up where we left off in Asia, now with Tibet. We mentioned last week that the Holy Tibet program in English from Lhasa was heard at 1635 to 1705 UT. Another time for it is 0700 to 0730. DSWCI DX Window, Martin van Delf from Holland, who's quite a globetrotter, reports on his visit to Tibet and the station. I met the producers of the program at the broadcasting complex in Lhasa. I was the first foreign listener to visit them. Holy Tibet started in May 2001 and is now a full half-hour program. New programs are produced on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, with repeats on the following days. On Sunday, there is only music. It's aimed at tourists visiting Tibet, as well as descendants of the many Tibetan refugees living in India. And you should find it on all the frequencies on the air at those times from the Tibetan Language Service from Lhasa, including, as we mentioned last week, 7385. Andy Reid in Ontario has been quite concerned about interference he's been getting to Radio Australia. They have three different frequencies in the mornings on 31 meters. 9580 is best, but also on 9590 and 9560. But all three of them have been getting interference from that single transmitter in Cuba, relaying China Radio International. 9570 between 12 and 14 UT. He says there's white noise accompanying it and spurs about 19 kilohertz away. This has been reported in DX Listening Digest, and perhaps someone in Cuba was reading it, because the transmitter has been on and off lately. When it came back on, it seemed to me the modulation was slightly improved, although I've not had such a problem with the spurs as he had further east where the azimuth is aimed. And he says, as of July 15th, the situation is better, but not perfect. Why park this big transmitter beside a long-established broadcast? There are other clear frequencies available, several between 9675 and 9710. Ola Alm in Sweden has been following the movements of the clandestine Sound of Hope for China, as indicated by the jammers which constantly follow it. On July 14th, he reports, Sound of Hope has been swinging around several frequencies in the middle of the 14 megahertz band. 14520, 14530, 14550, 14470, and as of the 14th on 14410, closing in on the ham band once again. The transmitter above 18 megahertz has reverted to 18180, which is outside that ham band. The other three frequencies and their jammers seem to be stable, 13970, 10300, and 9200. I've looked for the middle of the 14 megahertz band frequencies, but not been able to hear them here, even when 13970 is audible, around 1425. More about Japan's news service concerning North Korea's abduction of Japanese citizens, Furosato no Kaze. Seiichi Hasegawa of Nagoya DX Circle gives us the address, For email, it's info@rachi.go.jp, which means the Japanese government. And in BCDX, Takahito Akabayashi in Japan says it started on July 9th, 16 to 16:30 in Japanese on 9780. The second transmission in Korean at 17 to 17:30 on 9820 was the same, but translated into Korean, and they use a different name in that broadcast, Ilpone Palam, which means Wind of Japan. The broadcasts are done by Headquarters of North Korean Abduction Issues, Prime Minister of Japan and his Cabinet, produced by the Japan Center for Intercultural Communications. Well, we have election campaigns lasting 2 years now, it seems, but in Papua New Guinea, they have actual elections lasting several weeks. In DSWCIDX Window, Hacker Peterson in Denmark reports July 11th that local elections began in Papua New Guinea on June 30th and will last for some weeks. So there may be more shortwave activity during this period. In fact, Ron Howard in California tells us he monitored some PNG stations reporting on elections July 15th. Radio East Sepik on 3335 before and after 0900, including news in English about the voting results. And it was still heard at 1200 UT with more about the elections. And on 3385 at 0915, Radio East New Britain. David Norcross, back in Hawaii, confirms that Radio Vanuatu has reactivated 3945. Heard July 15th at 0957 with Island Talk. There was no ID at 1000, but into obvious Sunday church Vanuatu-style program. He says always great a cappella music there. It was pretty clear with a fairly steady signal and moderate strength. A grandmother in her 70s, Susan Meckley, has been sailing across the Pacific from east to west, and she's a ham as well, W7KFI. She had to stop off in Hawaii for some surgery, but according to OPDX, July 16th, via Dave Raycroft, ODXA, starting this week, she was planning to depart once again from Hawaii, her next stop, the rare DX location of Johnston Island, KH3, slant W7KFI will be her call there. She prefers CW, 7036, 10105 QRP, 14036, and 18170. But she can also operate SSB, perhaps on 14236. There have been intense sporadic openings just about every day lately, to the delight of VHF DXers, but it also affects high frequencies, especially the 25 megahertz band. Steve Lair in Michigan was hearing studio transmitter links on 25910 from WBAP in Dallas, 25950 from KOA in Denver, and 25990 from KSCS in Fort Worth. These were as early as 1325 UT and as late as 2020 on July 14th. They were also reported in the NASA flash sheet at various times the same date by Jerry Strawman in Iowa, Jerry Dexter in Wisconsin, and Jim Ronda in Oklahoma. I thought they would be in narrowband FM, but they say they are wideband FM. On early Sunday, July 15th, UT, Will Martin was surprised to hear Tom and Daryl on WBCQ. After they signed off 7415, their other frequency continued with the Tom and Daryl show, 5110, and it was still going at 0830. So late night you might hear something besides the Good Friends Radio Network. According to many press reports, including some via Zaharias Liangas, there's been a reprieve about the internet royalties problem. This report came from Ars Technica by Ken Fisher. The looming royalty crunch would have begun July 15th, but was narrowly averted by a temporary reprieve from Sound Exchange. A lasting compromise appears possible, but it will mean mandatory digital rights management for internet radio. If you still haven't heard, the new Bolivian shortwave station, Radio Universitaria, on 4732, slightly variable, in the evenings in North America, you should try in the mornings. Samuel Castro in Brazil and Robert Wilkner in Florida, DSWCI, reported signing on as early as 0958 and as late as 1045. In the mornings, there's no radio teletype interference. Bob Wilkner says about Bolivian reception in general. It's good from 09 to 10:30 when it begins to fade, and they're gone by 11:05 UT in Florida. Those remarks were in Actividad Judicial. On Sunday evenings in the UT Mondays, the Argentine transmitter on 15344 variable relays the domestic service, Radio Nacional. But on UT July 16th, starting at midnight one for more than an hour, Ron Howard in California was hearing a relay not from Buenos Aires, but from Radio Nacional de Santa Fe, Argentina, LRA 14. They apparently were having a lotto or bingo session. Jim Rondo in Oklahoma reports to the NASA flash sheet, the same transmitter carrying RAI in English, 15344.11, July 13th, before and after 1830 UT, including their DX program on that day. And furthermore, more than 27 hours later, when they're relaying Radio Nacional Buenos Aires, they were still on exactly that same off-frequency, July 14th at 2201. On July 11th, I was wondering if LRA 36 Antarctica was back on the air, since they said they'd be off for about 2 weeks, and got a reply quickly from Moises Knokin in Uruguay. Indeed, they were back on that date. He heard them at 19 UT on 15476, as did Moritz van Driessche in Belgium. On July 11th, word came from Radio St. Helena that they would be testing again, but it was on short notice, Tuesday, July 17th, which means it was too late for me to mention last week, and it's already happened by the time I'm recording this week. And we did have a number of reports of it. It was 19 to 21 UT on their usual 11092.5. It was well heard in Europe by Ray Browell in the UK and Jose Bueno in Spain, also heard in India by Alakesh Gupta, and even in Michigan, at least during the first hour, by Steve Lair. Also several reports of it in the Benelux DX Club with SINPO readings in the fours and fives. From the TDP website, we now have every day of the week accounted for in the 16 to 17 UT broadcast to Ethiopia from Russia on 15260. There are four different programs depending on the day of the week. On Mondays, the one we've mentioned recently, the Zena Tewahedo Ligament Holy Synod of the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church in Exile. On Tuesdays and Saturdays, it's Radio Horio Ogadenia. On Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, it's Antenet Le Democracy. And on Thursdays, EPPF Radio. Here's another broadcast in English of the Sudan Radio Service we'd overlooked before. It's Monday through Friday at 17:30 to 18 UT via UAE on 9590. Confirmed by Jari Savolainen in Finland and by Celi Romais in Brazil. Several reports of the only shortwave frequency from Djibouti, 4780. Different dates in July, but all from Sinon at 0300. Jim Ronda in Oklahoma tells the NASA flash sheet reception was fair to poor with Koran. Rich DeAngelo in Pennsylvania says it was fair to good. And in Panorama, Celiro Mais in Brazil says it was an excellent signal. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued July 17th. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 4, July 20th. 21st and 31st, 20 and 5 on August 7th and 10th. Down to 5 and 2, most other dates from July 23rd to August 5th. Solar flux at 70, finally getting up to 75 by August 3rd. World of Radio 1367 concludes. I'm Glenn Hauser.